Welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers and the literary arts on the North Coast in the Lower Columbia region. Aired the second Monday of each month at 9 a.m., River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtains at the craft of writing. What motivates writers to do the work they do, and what have they learned through their creative process? I'm your host, Sean Davis. This month, I decided to take River Writers on the road, but not far. I went to Rick's Poetry Open Mic, which is also called Poets on the Pier. It's held monthly at Winecraft on Pier 11, next to the Inferno or Old Bob Seafood Market. So I went down there, and I got there about an hour early to speak with local author Jennifer Nightingale. And when we got there, Rebecca Kraft, the owner of Winecraft, let us in. Usually Winecraft is closed on Tuesdays, but Rebecca is such a supporter of the local art scene that she opens just for the open mic night. And that's actually something we spoke about. We are both amazed by the community support of art in this town. Whether it's an open mic, the tenor guitar gathering, a book club, or even a brew festival, our community loves to support the arts. So please forgive the background noise on this. During the interview, we sat there before anybody really showed up, but there were people walking in the background. And then afterwards, at the end of this show, I put together a little montage of the different poets reading their works and in the poems that really inspired them. So it isn't the best quality audio, but I wish I can record all of it and put it on here, because I was just blown away by just the incredible creativity and just the beauty of the poetry. So I hope you like it too. So let's get into it. Hello, I'm Sean Davis, and this is River Writers. I am here down at Winecraft on Pier 11, right next to Treasure Alley, and I'm sitting here with Jennifer Nightingale, and we are here at Winecraft. And so do you want to just talk about, I know you as someone who is just really into the literary scene, you're at the Raymond Carver Festival, the different readings that we have around town, the Fisher Poets, which we'll talk about a little later. So you just want to introduce yourself?
Well, hello, I'm Jennifer Nightingale, and I am very, very grateful to live in this town because it is so supportive of artists and writers, and the Rick's Open Mic is every first Tuesday down here at Winecraft. So, you know, I've been surrounded by a community that gets so excited when someone launches a book or the various events going on. So it really is a community.
I was just at the Tenor Guitar Festival, the Tenor Guitar Gathering, where the mayor proclaimed Astoria as the Tenor Guitar Capital of the World. And we did this at the Performing Arts Center, which I didn't know we had a Performing Arts Center. And I was so excited. You know, I've only lived here for 2 years, so I'm a little slow. So talk to me about Rick's Open Mic.
Well, it's been going on for around 10 years.
Wow.
And it was started by a guy named Rick Vrenna, who started poetry groups in Seattle and Portland. And he came to Astoria and created a crazy poetry gathering in the old exhibition hall. And it was noisy and lots of ambient noise, but everybody had so much fun. And Rick very suddenly and unexpectedly passed away.
Oh, no.
And everybody was grieving, of course, but they decided that they would do two things for his memory. One was to keep on keeping on, and the other was to call this group Rick's. So there's a lot of people at Rick's who never knew him. I only knew him on a sideways basis, you know, casually. But there were others that were very, very close to him and want his memory to continue, and some of the crazy antics that he did remembered. And so that's why it's called Rick's. And everybody, of course, is welcome, but it is a limited space. So we encourage people to get here on time. It runs from 7 o'clock to 8:30, and every poet or reader is allowed 5 minutes. They can read something that inspired them. They could read Rebecca's wine menu if they want to.
Now, and that's Rebecca who owns Winecraft. I'm sorry, I didn't get your last name.
Kraft.
Oh, okay. Told you I was slow. So now I know. I feel like I'm almost a local now.
I think you are. I actually met you at the Workers Tavern.
Right.
You were doing the storytelling stuff.
Oh, yeah. So that was the Stormy River Storytellers. So how many people do you think you have per event?
I'm guessing we usually have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25 readers, and a lot of them come with companions who listen. So I think 50 is a fair number.
Wow. Wow. That's a pretty good event. And you already covered how often. It's the first Tuesday of every month.
Right.
I wanted to talk about the Fisher Poets. You were reading for the Fisher Poets. How often do you do that? And how often is the Fisher Poets?
Well, the Fisher Poets is every year. And it's been going for, I don't know how long it's been going for. For a long time, anyway.
Longer than Rick's Poetry Open Mic.
Definitely.
Yeah. That seems like, to me, seeing the posters, it's a whole weekend, it's all over town, and it seems like a very, something that has a really long tradition to it.
Yes, and Florence Sage, who is our MC for Rick's, was one of the founding members of the Fisher Poets. If there's a question about Fisher Poets, she knows, but the fact that I worked at the Warrenton Deep Sea Fish Market in Warrenton gave me Fisher status so that I could read it.
Oh, so you have to be Fisher or Fisher adjacent in order to read your poetry at this
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
So what other literary events and organizations are you taking part in here in Astoria and the surrounding area?
Well, I took part in the Trash Tales down in the Halem.
You're going to have to explain it better to me.
Well, there's a group that have been doing recycling for maybe 50 years, 25 years, anyway, a very long time. They started working in the dump in Manzanita. And there's a big, long story behind it. But suffice to say, they ended up with a shop called Heart of Cardam, where they repurpose things. And they're in downtown Wheeler, such as it is as a downtown. And every year they do what they call a trash bash. And they have trash tales where people tell stories about their relationships to things or broken things or all that kind of stuff. And they have a fashion show called Trashinista and an art show. And this year they held it at the White Clover Grange down in the Halem. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's the prettiest Grange I've ever seen.
No, I have. I've been to several Granges, but not that one.
It's got a very ugly paper mache cow right in front of it.
Okay, I'll be on the look. So what did you read during Trash Tales? Is just stuff that you write about when you're collecting recycling, or...
You know, I had something like that already written, and I have something screwball with my brain, and it's called an REM sleep disorder. And every once in a while, it causes me to literally fly out of bed and land wherever I land.
Oh no! Is it like you dream like you're falling and you wake yourself up real fast?
Yeah. Well, this is a really
except you jump out of the bed altogether.
I mean, I was dreaming I was, you know, flying Tarzan style. And anyway, I had this beautiful oak side table that we used to have in our bookstore. And I trashed it.
Oh, no.
I shredded the legs. And I also ended up with this huge black eye. And anyway, so I decided that I better sit down and write the story of why that table was important and why it broke my heart to shred it. And so I sat down and wrote a 5-page story, and then I put him on my phone and I said, let's go. We got to get to Nehalem. And I hadn't practiced it at all. And it turned out wonderfully. Oh. And the people down there it's the community really stretches definitely from Longview all the way down to Garibaldi and Rockaway Beach. It's a big community.
So you do a lot of readings, and I do remember you read that poem of yours in Rain Magazine at the reading that we did at the Workers' Tavern. I know Rain Magazine is what? This is their 50th episode?
55th, edition? Something like that, 55th, yeah.
55th edition.
This year was 54, so next year will be 55.
Yeah. Okay. And so Rain Magazine is a collection of stories from students and community members up here in the North Coast, and Clatsop Community College puts it out.
It does.
And do you help with that, or you just submit every year, or how's it go?
I just submit every year, and like everything else, I take out the bullhorn and tell everybody it's going on and encourage people to participate, as does Florence encourage them to participate. And at the moment, I've been doing a deep dive into old Rains. And going through, there is an archive where all but one issue is there. And so I've been discovering, there's some really big names in art and literature and everything else that are there. And they started back in, Brian Doyle is in there a couple of places. And of course, some names that are current artists like Sterling Gorsuch was there in his younger days, even as a student. And so it goes back to 1968.
Okay, so that's longer than 50 years. People hate to hear that.
there were some dead years, apparently.
Where
it kind of went fallow, and it was scooped up and brought back to life again. And then even during the pandemic, they combined 2 years into one, called it and a hiatus year.
Well, we all had to do what we could at that time. The world's crazy. So I wanted to talk about your books before we wrap up this. What do you publish and what do you like to write? I mean, other than poetry. I mean, we can talk about your poetry as well.
Well, thank you. I would say my magnum opus and my pride and joy was a book that was published in 2019 called Alberta and the Spark.
Spark,
like sparky, yes. And it has a geographic footprint from Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, all the way down to Yaquina Bay, Oregon. So it's very much a Pacific Northwest book. And, the characters came from my life, but they are their own people. And they live in an oyster town up in Southwest Washington. And I had my characters drive over the Astoria Megler Bridge when it was a toll bridge. And I had a guy here in town called Michael Josephson, who has the fish business. And he helped me place everything in the 1970s, so I didn't get anything wrong there.
Oh, that's great.
And Michael Josephson is like a fourth generation fishing family.
Smokehouse.
Yes. And I don't know if you know this, but he recently passed away, and he had given the fish business over to his kids. But
I knew it was a fan. I went in there and they got some great their smoked salmon, their smoked oysters. They have smoked pretty much anything you pull out of the ocean over there, right?
Yeah.
And that place is so old, but it's so cool too.
And there's historic pictures of them, but they're not just historic pictures. They're his grandparents, his great grandfather who came from Norway. And I actually wrote Mike into the story, taking the characters out, and he was a young man in this story, and his kids got, of course, an incredible kick out of it. But that was my gift to him for all the countless hours over coffee and me just peppering him with questions. And he's very much of a gentle personality and a very sweet sense of humor, and he was very patient with me because I'm sure I was a pain in the neck.
But you are 100% correct. I mean, this place is just, it's magical. Astoria is just magical.
Well, in some places in art communities, there's a lot of competition, and people trying to sort of push and shove each other. And what is really beautiful is there is a great spirit of collaboration and support. And so it becomes a real community, not some sort of a race or a contest. And I always wished there could be a place like this, but I didn't think it existed.
You are 100% right. I want to be part of that supportive community for our creatives here in the North Coast. And so if I can interview people who are actually here and doing things, I would love to do that. Very important, because art is the soul of your community. Before you go, I'm putting you on the spot. Is there a poem you want to read or anything?
Now, I've got one called Rusty Nails, and it's kind of funny. And I got another one called Log of Silver, and it's prettier.
Okay, well, I'll let you choose. I mean, I love funny, but funny's hard to do as well.
Well, I mean, it's not funny, but it's well, I guess it's a good reminder. Let's see, we'll try it. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's try it. Rusty Nails.
Now, one of the things that I don't know if you knew about me was that I go down with my husband Holt and Mickey, our dog, and pick up garbage on the river beach.
Oh, I didn't. I've seen some photos of you guys on Facebook doing fun things, but I didn't know you went and picked up garbage.
Yeah, we've picked up, I'm sure, tons of it over time, and is that we know where the beach debris dumpster is and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, one day, you know, you always find rusty nails sticking out, and you turn them over so they don't puncture somebody's tire or step on it and stuff like that. So I thought, well, why not write a poem about rusty nails?
Yeah, I don't understand poets. Why not?
So do you want me to do it?
Yes, please, okay. Please.
Rusty nails on the river beach. Threatening to inflict bodily harm. The rusty nail at the river beach is as ubiquitous as screaming terns and diving cormorants. My mother said we must be careful. A puncture wound from a rusty nail could give you lockjaw and you could die. A painful death with spasms in your face. So I had healthy respect for the rusty nail. But now, I wonder, how long ago was that nail pounded into the now weathered wood? What was its purpose? Who was the carpenter, pilebuck, or boat builder that drove it in? Did they envision their handiwork would wash up by the mouth of the mighty Columbia River, threatening the unsuspecting with a deadly infection? I turned the wood over so the nails point into the sand. Away from creatures' feet and fancy tires, I stay wary and keep my tennis shots up to date.
Thank you so much. You know, what I love about that is it shows the history. There's so much history of this place. You know, I asked in class the other day, I'm like, does anybody know of the name of the very first millionaire on planet Earth? And everybody's like, no. And I'm like, you do. It's John Jacob Astor. the story. But it looks like people are getting here. Thank you so much for sitting here and talking with me. I really appreciate it. I'll try to do some other stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Rick's Poetry Open Mic is a blast, and Jennifer Nightingale and the other poets are the nicest and most welcoming people. If you live in the area and you're visiting our fine city during the first Tuesday of every month, head on over to Winecraft at 7 p.m. Make sure you tip Rebecca for working so hard and supporting the local art scene. The following is a couple minutes of excerpts from the poets. And again, this is a recording on site during the reading, so the audio isn't the best. But I hope the fun that we were having comes through.
Yeah, we're going to have about 35 authors over there is what we're estimating this year. If you want to stay over there and have a big weekend out of it, we've got hotel discounts. We're going to have coffee this year. Everybody's really excited about that.
The offer sticker did not read, proud parent of an Astoria High School honor student. It read, don't believe everything you think.
Astronauts from China just landed on the moon. I thought of them last night as I navigated obstacles without benefit of light on my way to the bathroom.
Anyway, I have a couple of relatively short poems that I wrote. As many of you know, I spend an inordinate amount of time walking back and forth on the river beach at Fort Stevens picking up trash.
This first one, I want to especially thank Logan because he introduced me to the subject of a pentoon, I guess, 2 or 3 months ago.
And by the way, the Sailor's Dixie Cup hats, they're turned straight up.
Those are some times vacant eyes behold. Like my son's father, my son-in-law, does not speak of this except one time, when my son-in-law was talking privately to my husband's uncle who had fought in Normandy. Now there was a pair of vacant eyes.
We can be thankful and tranquil and proud that mankind's been blessed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some happy day someone will set the spark off and we will all be blown away.
Whispers like a hive, you press your ear to. Humming dark beneath whisk beats of jazz on low, a bar stool props up a glass of scotch, poised to warm us all through the orator, whose words will draw slow like honey from the opened comb.
Over. Like matter and antimatter collided and paired, we pumped, we crackled, brilliant, weren't we? Every way there was and everywhere.
My erotic dreams. Or goodbye, James Tapper.
I was there, headbound, at the funeral of the summer of love.
Walt Whitman's birthday was 5 days ago. He would be 205. A little nostalgia for those of us who lived in the beat age. I'm going to read a poem by Allen Ginsberg about Walt Whitman.
With a tear, I seal our chipmunk into the memory bag to carry home alone.
She became a calligraphy, broad strokes of body movement, but the doe still turned her head in my direction.
Thank you for joining us today in River Writers, and thanks to my guest Jennifer Nightingale for sitting down to chat about writing. And thank you to all the brave souls who took a chance and shared their poetry or a poem or two that inspired them. It takes a lot to get behind that microphone in front of a crowd of people. The Writers Guild of Astoria is a 501c3 nonprofit organization promoting literary arts and serving writers in the Lower Columbia region. You can learn more and become a member by visiting www.thewritersguild.org. Until next time, keep the words flowing and your pencil sharp. I'm Sean Davis.